and sweat, like drops of blood fell from his face down to the ground. But now as we look at Jesus through the windows of scripture, as we look at him now when he's getting up and making his way back to the disciples, as he found them fast asleep, but now something is different about him. We notice as Judas betrays him with a kiss, and they come to arrest him, and Peter draws his sword and cut a man's ear off. Jesus healed the man's ear and said, Peter, put up your sword. I don't need any help. I got 12 legions of angels. They're waiting for my beck and call. And so Jesus, he came in the garden distress, but even under arrest, he walks out in power. He came in the garden in uncertainty, but he walks out in power of knowing that everything will be all right. Ain't God all right? And so how do we deal with a bitter cup? My brothers and sisters, we got to turn them over to the Lord in prayer, and he'll give you power to yield to his will. But before I close, I need to tell us why Jesus yielded to the Father's will and he drank from the bitter cup. I need to tell you why the Father called his Son to drink from the bitter cup. My brothers and sisters, it was all because of love. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. It was also love that caused Jesus to yield to the Father's will and drink from that bitter cup. For the Bible says that greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. And so one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, he hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world. And after laying in the grave for 3 days and three nights, it was bright early that Easter Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. It's because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lived, I can deal with life bitter cups. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up, yes, when you fall down? Ain't God all right? I know the Lord. I know he's all right. And the reason I know, I tried him for myself. Yes, Lord. He'll help you. He'll help you. Handle every bitter situation, every painful situation that come into your life. All you got to do is trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And oh, he will. Yes. Direct your path. Yes, Lord. How to deal with life's bitter cups. Take them to the Lord in prayer. And he will give you the strength to yield to his will. Not my will, but thy will be done.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
it's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
How you know, how can you grow? So, and we had a great time in the Lord. It was a big intervention and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Don't be weary in well-doing. There's something called due season. Amen. It will come, but only if we don't give up. Thanks to our musicians. Amen. We appreciate you. For they were there to provide the music for us. We are grateful. Amen. Do we have any guests in the house? Will you please raise your hand if you're a guest? Any guest in the house? God bless you, woman of God. Is there anyone else? God bless you. God bless you, sir. Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Come on, we can do better than that. We are grateful, grateful, grateful to all of our guests. We appreciate you being here this morning. After church today, there is a guest center right there in the lobby of the church. If you would be kind to just stop by there, we have a gift for you. Gift is from our church to you. We want to say thank you for choosing out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. Are we all happy to see our guests this morning? Amen. Come on, let's get on our feet. Just walk around and say hello to somebody and just thank them for being in church today. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Just love on them. Thank them for being in church today.
Secure from all alone, yes, I'm leaning.
Give me more volume on this mic. I ask that you stand in reference to the word of God. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through verse 20. Thank God for all of the ministers that are here. We appreciate you. We thank God for your ministry. Matthew 8, 28, verses 18 through verse 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Take note of that. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Remain standing as we pray. Amen. Father, we are grateful for your word. Thank you for revelation knowledge that we're about to receive. Holy Spirit, you breathe on the word before, I ask you to do it again. Help our understanding. It's not enough to be present in the class. We have to comprehend the heart of God. Use me, oh God, to be a blessing to somebody today. While others have been blessed, I pray, oh God, that I would not be a castaway myself. Thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders in this house today. Thank you for souls in the kingdom. We receive not because we ask not. Father God, we thank you for souls in the kingdom. Thank you for miracles in this house. It is so. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, The Name of Jesus, Part 3. For those of you who are following this ministry, I have been teaching a series of sermons on the name of Jesus. Please permit me to remind you, this is the third part of that series. Part one, I shared with you that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Am I right about it? Then in part two, we share with you that the name of Jesus is a strong tower. Any righteous can run into it, and they shall be saved. Am I right about it? Today we begin another part of that series. Somebody may ask the question, Brother Pastor, why are we putting so much emphasis on the name of Jesus? I'm glad you asked. Somebody may want to know, why do we need the name of Jesus in our life? Please permit me to suggest to you an answer. The reality of living is that life is full of ups and downs. Am I right about it? Sometimes you have benefits, but sometimes you have burdens. Sometimes you have assets, sometimes you have liabilities. Many people, as I'm talking with you this morning, there are many people who are watching. Some are live streaming, some are watching live on Facebook, some will watch this on television, some will hear it on radio. The last time I checked, there's been more than 10,000 following of this ministry, watching what we teach and preach to you on live Facebook. That's just Facebook. So this is an ordained, serious ministry by the grace of God. Why are people watching? Why are they coming to church? Why are they listening on radio? Why are they watching you on television? Because there are too many people in our generation who are overwhelmed by what is going on around us. That is just the blunt truth. That's why people taking pills, nerve pills, stress pills, pills for depression, pills to lay down, pills to get up in the morning, pills to make us smile, pills to get along with people. Why so many pills? Some people say, wait a minute, before she gets here, I better get some pills. I'm just keeping it real today, you know. You find out her mama is coming over, you say, oh no, before mama got here, let me get something to calm myself down. That's the kind of world we live in. Let me be honest with you. There are some people that will flat get on your nerves. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how righteous you are. I don't care if you talk in tongue or you talk in Swahili or you talk in Chinese or you talk in English. Some people will blow your balloon. So what we teach you is not just for you to know a little more Bible. This is for your survival in this crazy world. This is for my survival. I need Jesus. Every day, every hour, even church people get on my nerves, if the truth be told. So the name of Jesus is not just a little Sunday morning lesson. We need Jesus. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Can we keep it real today? I don't care how anointed you are or how much glory you walk in. I say there are some people that will still press the button to get on your nerves. How are you going to deal with all those pressures? How are you going to deal with the craziness of our generation? We need the name of Jesus. Amen. We need something bigger than our problem. We need something bigger than our mess. We need something bigger than our sins. And the name of Jesus is a strong tower. Let me remind you, you the righteous can run into it, and you shall be saved. Amen. We can use the name of Jesus according to the scripture in many ways. Number one, we can use the name in our prayers. Please take note of that. Whenever you pray, you can use the name of Jesus. Number two, we can use the name of Jesus to get rid of demons, demonic attack facing you and me on a daily basis. The name of Jesus is bigger than them. Also, number three, we can use the name of Jesus for our healing. You can save yourself a lot of medical bills. Yes, I said it. Just learning to use the name of Jesus. Please permit me, I know we don't have much time today, but permit me to call your attention to how these things will work. Let's start with prayer. I said we can use the name of Jesus in prayer. How do I know? The book of St. John, chapter 16, verse 24 says, hitherto. In other words, before now, you've asked me nothing. But Jesus said, from now on, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he said, God would do it. You can take that to the bank. If you learn to ask God the Father for anything in the name of Jesus, Jesus guaranteed that God the Father would do it for you. Many of you may be asking the question, why is it not working for me? The reason why it's not working is because many of us in the kingdom of God, we water down the Bible. Sometimes we make the Bible say what it doesn't say. We will say things like, sometimes God will say yes. Sometimes God will say no. Sometimes God will say maybe not now. But guess what? Every one of those are not in the Bible. That's why you don't receive. You begin to add what is not there. That is why I give you an outline. That is why we put the scripture on the big screen. So you are a smart human being. You can read for yourself. And many times we make excuses. Whenever we don't get something at our own time, then we give up so quickly. And we say, well, maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's not the will of God. Again, you are watering down the word of God because you don't have to guess the will of God. The will of God is made known in the word of God. So if God said it, it is settled. Whether you believe it or not, God's word is still settled. So what I'm trying to do week after week is to stir up the gift of God in you to dare to believe what God said. Even if it don't make sense to you. But if you have the courage to believe God, you will see miracles after miracles. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. Jesus did not say hitherto. You've asked me nothing before now, but from now on, feel free to ask. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. However, sometimes he will say no. You don't see that in the Bible. However, sometimes he might say yes. Sometimes he might say, maybe not now. You see how we then change the Bible. And we add more to it. And then we stay broke. We stay busted. We stay defeated. As a result, our prayers are unanswered. Same thing in dealing with demons. Same thing when it comes to our healing. The book says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, you can read, you are a smart human being. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. And then told you what will happen, what signs will follow them that believe. Number one, he gave us five signs. If those signs are not working in your life, you are an unbeliever. You are the holdup. And I love you enough to confront you and to encourage you and to build your faith. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should make up story. If God says something, he will do it. So the word of God is settled. The Bible says, forever, O God, thy word is settled. The Bible said the word of God is yea and amen. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, grass may wither and flowers may fade. But when it comes to the word of God, thou will stand forever. One scripture put it this way. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, it will stand forever. So when the Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe, if I was smart, if you were smart, you want to take note of what sign? Number one, he said you can cast out every demon in your house. So why are we freaking out whenever the demons knock at your door? When God told you in his name, you can cast out that devil. Number two, he said you can speak with a new tongue. Some of you have been saved since 1902 and you never speak in tongues. The Bible said, He said, if you are bitten by serpent, it won't hurt you. That don't mean you have to be going around looking for snakes. But God forbid you get bitten by a snake. Amen. You know there are some snakes, even in the church. Yes, sir. They are smiling, they look pretty, but they are snake in the house of God. They smell good, but they are snake. And if you get bitten by one of those church snakes, the Bible says they cannot hurt you. The question this morning, do you believe what you're reading? The Bible says if you drink any deadly poison, Lord knows I love some kind of food I won't mention. But every now and then when I look at the people that work there, I say, Lord Jesus, Lord have mercy on me. But it's good to know whether you find yourself eating deadly things, whether you eat contaminated food or food poisoning, somebody somewhere is looking out for you. The reason why you're still alive today is because God, in his grace and mercy, is working out the word of God in your life. And you know the 15, it says, if you lay hand on the sick. Let me advise you, start with yourself. Every now and then something will be acting funny in my body. Guess what I do? Wham! Lay hand on yourself. Lay hand on your eyes. Lay hand on your knees. Lay hand on your back. Lay hand on your child. Whatever is sick in your house, lay hand. The sign will follow you if you believe. But because we're not doing this thing, that's why we don't see result. Please listen, church. It's not up to God. Did you hear what I just said? The problem is not heaven. Heaven is still broadcasting. 24/7, healing virtue is flowing from God. Grace and mercy is flowing. Favor is flowing. God remains faithful to his word. The only question is, when are you and me will get off our get off? That's good. That's good. And embrace what God says. And believe the word of God. And begin to put the word of God into action. So it is up to us to believe. It's up to us to lay hands. It's up to us to cast out devil. It's up to us. So if we don't see it manifest in our life, don't blame anybody but yourself. Slap somebody and tell that somebody you don't know what you got. Tell him again, you don't know what you got. You are a walking miracle. Yes, sir. You don't know what you got until all hell broke loose. You don't know what you got until the pressure is applied in your life. You don't know what you got until you can no longer endure. Many of us, we walk around as children of God, but we don't know what we got. You don't even know what you can endure until people stab you in your back and walk away with a smile. You don't know what you got until you've been through the fire and been through the storm and been through the flood and you find yourself still standing. Many of us here, we don't know what we got. You don't know how much courage you got until you've been under fire. You don't know what you got until you find out that God has always holding you up all your life. But you're not going to find out what you got by sitting in your house in your lazy chair with a remote control, watching HBO, watching cinemas, watching Housewife of Atlanta, Housewife of Alexandria, or whatever mess. Amen, somebody. Touch somebody and say, I thank God for the name of Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. I thank God for the name of Jesus. You know why you can thank God? All you need to do is look back over your life and see the burdens you've borne and see how many miracles you've witnessed and see the load that you carry and see the stuff that you've endured. I don't know about you. I'm even shocked that I'm still alive. But God, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. It's not that I shock my enemies. I'm saying I shock my own self. I don't know about you. I should have been dead by now. But I'm still here. Tell somebody you're still here. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. The mercy of God. When you think about things that could have happened, things that almost happened, things that would have happened to you, but God sustained you anyhow. There's something in your spirit ought to cry out and say, Lord, I thank you. They told me I was not going to make it. And you know what is so funny? I believe it. But I've been through some fire. How about you? I've been through some flood. How about you? But God. Some of your children, some of my children could have lost their lives. But the Bible said the angel of the Lord encamp around them that fear you all day, all night. I don't know about you, angels watching over me. I wasn't always right. Many times I screwed up. But oh, thank God for grace and mercy. Somebody shout Jesus. My God, my God. There is power in that name. There is healing in that name. There is deliverance in that name. Somebody shout Jesus. Look at what the Bible said. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and also on earth. But then again, we begin to water it down. That's our problem. We water down the word of God. We are willing to believe that Jesus have all power. We are willing to believe that Jesus have all authority. But then we will say, but it's up to him. We always want to pass the buck. But if you study the Bible, you will notice that it's not up to him. Because when you read the Bible, the next verse says, which we never read. The next verse says, immediately, he said, go and teach all nations in my name. He didn't just say all power belongs to him. He said, I'm giving you that power to go. Go forth in my name. But we're still sitting there and say it's up to God. When he has given us the power, when he has given us the authority. So I come to remind you again and again, if you want the Bible to work in your life, accept the responsibility. If I have one message for America, I thank God that this is a free nation. There is nowhere on earth as free as America. But the big demon that is destroying us is our desire to want freedom and no responsibility. Is freedom to be a child of God? How do I know? Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life. That's freedom. And have it abundantly. But we cannot just take freedom and not accept the responsibility that comes with freedom. That's why folks want to be husband, but they don't want to take care of their wife. See, the Bible is not really complicated. It's a blessing to be a husband. I know it's a blessing. but it comes with all the men say, amen, amen, Reverend, amen. Are you preaching now? It comes with responsibility. Being a child of God is just like that. When he said, these signs shall follow you, if you believe, then he gives you the responsibility. Lay hand. That's your responsibility. Cast out. That's your responsibility. Believe God. That's your responsibility. And when you don't lay hand, when you don't believe God, when you don't cast out, your train will never move. That's how simple the Bible is. When he said, all power in heaven, on earth has been given to me, then he turned around, now I say you go. But many of us, we are still at ease in Zion. And you know what is so amazing about God? He also said, lo, I'm with you. Not every now and then. So what else do we need other than just that many of us Christians are cowards? We want the blessing, but we want no responsibility to simply do what God asks us to do. And he said, I'm not just going to send you out. I'm going to be with you always. By the way, let me show you how he be with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because we hear it, but we don't believe it. That's why we don't go. When you know God is with you, you won't be scared. I was talking with, true story, I was talking with my wife the other day, and she wants to know why things don't bother you. I say, I'm dead already. Folks go around in church with a spirit of offense. Nobody can talk a little about you. Nobody can scratch you a little bit. Nobody can, he had me, she had me. Shut up! When are you going to grow up? When you are a child of God, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live, I live it in Jesus Christ, who loved me, who died for me. You ain't got no business getting little thing upset you and you freaking out on everything. It's a spirit. It's called spirit of offense. If I allow people or things that people have done to me, I would have been long gone. But you cannot hurt a dead person. We just cannot take the good of the Bible. We have to accept the responsibility. Are you still here? And Jesus said, you're not by yourself. I'm with you always. Lord, I'm with you. Question, how is he with me? Well, all you need to do is read the next verse. Matthew 18:20, this time, he said, where two or more are gathered in my name. I'm right there. But you know why you're scared? That you don't know that he's with you? You really know I'm with you always, but you don't believe he's with you because you are never in unity with nobody. Somebody got to teach the Bible. You walk around stuck up with your nose up. You think you're better than everybody. You think you're more holier than everybody. You think nobody can teach you nothing. Lord, I'm with you. How is he with you? He said, you need two or more. So how are you going to be in the deacon board, but you don't get along with nobody? You see the problem now? How are you going to be in the choir, but you don't get along with nobody? You just want to come in. I'm just minding my own business. No, you are a devil, a lying devil. God don't call you just to mind your own business. He said, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. We are leaning together on everlasting though. I mean, am I going to have a family with Elizabeth, but we don't communicate, we don't get along. A house divided against itself, it will break apart. Somebody needs to preach this gospel. But when you learn to get along with your brother, when you learn to get along with your sister, when you learn to speak to people and love on people, even when they don't deserve it. The Bible says, love your enemy. Am I still in the book? The Bible says, pray for those who hate your God. Am I still in the book? It is when two or more, see, we have two or more in this house, but the question is, are we united? Or are we just sitting together? How are you going to be a minister in the house, serving the same church, but you don't talk to other ministers? How is your church going to grow when you always talk bad about other pastors, when you're not happy for somebody that God is blessing? How are you going to grow? Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Oh, my time is up. I got to tell you, God is faithful to his word. Many people in the church, we believe that God is here, but we don't believe that God is with us. You see the difference? You got to believe. He said, lo, I'm with you. He didn't just say, I'm going to be there. He said, I'm with you. He said, I got your back. I'll be with you. I'll hold you up. When people are trying to hate on you, I will hold you up. When people have been unlovely, I will hold you up. When people are talking about you, I will hold you up. And you're looking at a living example. Oh, I've been dissected and bisected and talked about and called everything but a child of God. But I'm still standing. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Why? What is the secret? Because you can call on the name of Jesus. Let me say this in closing. The name of Jesus is like a blank check. Jesus personally signed the check. But the problem is that he authorized us to go use the check, but some of us are still writing the check for $1. This is the dilemma in the house of God. God called you the head and not the tail, but you walk around with your head down. Write the check. Heaven is waiting on you to think big. Heaven is waiting on you to step out by faith. Heaven is waiting on you to do great and mighty things. In fact, Jesus said, the work that I do, greater work you should do also. So there comes a time when the devil is trying to mess with you, and then you have to look at that devil in the face and say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Leave my mama alone. Leave my child alone. Stop messing with my husband. Stop messing with my wife. Stop making my children sick. I bind you in the name of Jesus. The secret is the name of Jesus. I can go on and on. He said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, he said, if my people... But it's not just being God's people. He said, you got to be called by his name. The secret to your survival, the secret to my survival, you got to learn to put Jesus on it. When the devil come, put Jesus on it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 27 said, a woman shall conceive and bear a child. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. I don't know about you. I look to my right. There's nobody to save me. I look to my left. There's nobody to save me. But when I call on the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, sicknesses and disease begin to leave my body. When I call on that name, all of a sudden, my anger, my frustration begin to leave. When I call on that name, mountains begin to fall flat in my face. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. What is that name? What is that name?
Jesus.
What is that name?
Jesus.
He is more than enough. To Moses, he's a bush that won't burn. To Israel, he's a pillar of cloud by day. He's a pillar of fire by night. What is his name?
Jesus.
To David, he is a shepherd. To Solomon, he is the fairest of 10,000. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. To Ruth, he is kinsman redeemer. Am I still in the book? In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our great high priest. In number, he is the glory of God in appearance. In Deuteronomy, he is the judge that is seated on the throne. In Joshua, he is our salvation. In the book of Judges, he was a man of war. In Isaiah called him wonderful. Isaiah called him counselor. Isaiah called him mighty God. Isaiah called him everlasting father. Isaiah called him the prince of God. What is his name? Jesus. Isaiah said, I saw him with my own eyes. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripe I'm healed. What is his name? Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bone. What is his name? Ezekiel said, he's a wheel in the midst of the wheel. Daniel said, it's my Messiah coming soon. Hosea said, he's a consuming fire. Joel said, he's the Holy God, wounded for my sin. Amos said, he's the Lord standing at the altar. Habakkuk said, he's the vision about to be manifested. Jonah said, I was swallowed by the fish, but the grace of God spit me out. He said, he's a shelter in time of storm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ask Mr. Zachariah, he will tell you he was a man with a vision. He was a man with a mission stick. But I don't know about you, when I want to think about Jesus Christ, he's my joy in sorrow. Do I have a witness in the house? He's my hope for tomorrow. He's my peace in time of trouble. He's the light in my darkness. He's a friend for the friendless. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the sick room. What is his name? He's help for the helpless. He's bread for the hungry. He's water for the thirsty. He's the power for the weak. What is his name? I don't know about you. When I'm losing my mind, I call on Jesus. When I'm sick in my body, I call on Jesus. When my children won't act right, I call on Jesus. When trouble surround me, I call on Jesus. What is his name? What is his name? What is his name? Who woke you up this morning? Who started you on your way? Who healed your body? Who paid your bill? What is his name? What is his name? Somebody shout, Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, over my sickness, Jesus, over my frustration, Jesus, over my confusion, Jesus, over my circumstance, Jesus. Somebody shout, Jesus. If you are here today and you need him to intervene in any situation, in any circumstance, I can tell you this much. I wasn't always right. I can tell you this much. Many times I couldn't see my way. But the way I get through is to call on the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask every one of you to stand. And if you're here today and you look at your circumstance and you see an area that you know if Jesus didn't do it, nobody else can. You know the problem we have as a people? We are too busy trying to fix our own situation. But let Jesus fix it for you. If you're that man, if you're that woman, and you need Jesus to fix it, I don't need to know it. God knows. But he said you have to confess him before men and women of this world. And he will confess you before his Father who is in heaven. Find your way to the altar. If you're that man, if you're that woman, Jesus. Jesus. Permit me to tell you this. Just like you, I have a reason to call on Jesus this morning. Your reason may be different from mine, but it's good to know there is a way out. You know what I'm asking you to do this morning? I want you to believe God that you're not going to deal with that problem after today. It has nothing to do with what I did or what you did. It has everything to do with the wonderful name of Jesus. God has highly exalted him and given him a name. That name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee in my life, every knee in your life, it must bow. Anything in heaven, anything on earth, anything under the earth, that includes your situation, that includes my circumstance. And so today, all I'm asking you to do is believe God with me. Agree with me. I need somebody else to agree with. He said, we are two or more are gathered in his name. He said, I'm right in the midst of them. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is right here. The songwriter say, Jesus is already here. Can you feel his presence?